We may tie these points together under the broad rubric of edumacation, as Popeye would say, though that word is risibly inapt to what is taught today. The word's root is Latin and means to lead forth, that is, to coax out of imperfect but improvable human nature that which makes each human being better. Or as the classics understood it, not merely to impart knowledge, but also to form character. Is there any character formation that goes on in anything that's called edumacation today publicly? Ladies and gentlemen, hell, is there any formation going on privately? Not much. Formation matters. If you are philosophically formed correctly, per St. Thomas Aquinas and the social kingship of Christ's social moral teaching, you're going to turn out okay. Now, you can fall to sin and turn out bad, but at least you had the foundation to turn out okay. And when you do turn bad, you have the foundation to know that you turned bad. And there's always absolution and confession to turn around. In both respects, Mr. Anton says, our system does the opposite. It teaches lies, attacks and suppresses the truth, and encourages people to behave worse. It tells children to hate themselves or their classmates because of their race and to hate their country. It encourages boys to declare themselves girls and vice versa. It badgers kids into professing themselves attracted to members of the same sex or of all 63 sexes, regardless of or despite their natural inclination. It fire hoses them with sexualized messaging and imagery, always taking care to decouple orgasmic self-indulgence from love and family. The people who run the system, or many of them, could only be described as sadists. How many times have I said these people are sadists? Now, if you don't know the definitions, what's the difference between mid or church play? Why aren't they masochists? Well, here's the difference. The sadist enjoys seeing other people in pain. The masochist enjoys inflicting or having pain inflicted on himself. That's the difference. The people who run the system, or many of them, can only be described as sadists. How sick does one mind have to be to think it's a good idea to teach a black kindergartner to hate his white classmates or those white classmates to hate themselves? A sane society would call this child abuse. The system now protects predators at the expense of the vulnerable and attacks parents who object. In Virginia, a boy in a skirt entered a girl's bathroom and raped a student. The school in the district hushed it up and transferred him to another school, where he did it again. When one victim's father complained at a school board meeting, cops roughed him up and arrested him. The superintendent, principal, and all others in authority furiously deny that any assault had ever taken place. That is, except for the father's impassioned plea, which the school board referred to the Attorney General of the United States, who then ordered FBI and U.S. attorneys to investigate outspoken parents as domestic terrorists. This is not merely insane, but deliberately evil. The Carthaginians cast living into furnaces to satiate their false god Baal. We sacrifice our children's mental health and adult futures to appease our false god, Wokey. The most prevalent features of education in history, it is widely accepted, have stemmed from a lack of it. Failing to teach the poor basic skills such as reading and writing, or even deliberately depriving them of such learning. Now we have come full circle, but worse. We barely teach kids to read, write, or add anymore. Indeed, the most progressive corners of the education system denounce such emphasis on standards and core knowledge as white supremacy. There's ample historical precedent for widespread illiteracy, but for teaching one's own citizens self-hatred, degeneracy, and despondency without teaching them to read and write? That is unprecedented. And thus the title of the essay, it is unprecedented. Barbarians at the gates. The typical tyrant enjoys wealth and power, which are easier to extract from a productive populace than from zombies. He therefore typically does not prioritize degrading his population beyond measures necessary to produce obedience. The serial humiliations inflicted on our people by its ruling class, not all of which, to say the least, generate profits, appear to be another element of contemporary life without historical precedent. Crime is a case in point. No society, whether free or despotic, benefits from crime. All else being equal, though, it's certainly true that a tyrant can find it useful to exempt his own partisans from criminal enforcement, and even to encourage them to terrorize his enemies. Criminals being criminals, this is a hard dynamic to keep from spinning out of control. In 2020, for instance, the ruling class unleashed BLM hordes and Antifa predators, plus assorted rioters and looters to despoil and burn some 220 American cities. This is all true. Last we checked, Portland, Oregon is still being burned. It is still being run by the rioters and looters. There's a guy that wrote the book, Ratted Out the Environmentalists. Michael Schellenberger has a new book out. I'm not going to get into it today, but it's called San Francisco. And Schellenberger goes, look, it took four decades to take the once beautiful, very Catholic, by the way, Saint Francisco, Francis of Assisi, and turn it into Gomorrah with poop on the streets. And you know what? They did it intentionally. You see, now what he's getting at here, and I don't know if he's going to, again, I didn't get to read the whole essay. I'm reading some of it with you. What Mr. Anton is getting at here, ladies and gentlemen, suicide is mortally sinful and is the currency of demons. Now, it may be true that you can have a true mental deficiency, mental illness, if you will, that may cause you to wish to take your own life. I can't say for certain that you can't. And the church in its teaching doesn't even rule it out. So we're going to go with that. That's rare. Most suicides are people listening to bogeys whispering in their ears, telling them to do it, over the pleadings of guardian angels telling them not to. A civilization that actually pursues mass suicide, therefore, assuming that we're all not sick in the head, serious mental illness, is one that is diabolical. What was the Dr. G.C. Dilsaver said in that essay that the guy discovered and changed his life about America isn't vicious because it aborts babies. America is vicious and aborts. America is not doesn't abort babies and there is therefore vicious. America is vicious and then therefore aborts babies. So Dilsaver flips the pro-life argument that no, everyone is good and fine and wonderful and pristine and holy. They're just misguided. We need to turn them back to life. That ain't going to work. So this mass suicide against this Malthusian attempt to suicide many people. And for the civilization, if you view it as a whole, to say, no, you must get this jab in order to live, when in fact the opposite is actually true in far too many cases. And we don't know what it does long term. No one does. Sacking was not uncommon in the ancient world. Rome was sacked many times, but always by foreigners and never at the instigation of her leading citizens. The Senate never riled up the plebs, to scorch the Capitoline. Yet, in the summer of 2020, our ruling class actively encouraged through state-aligned media the repeated sacking of Manhattan, the very beating heart of the Davos archipelago, where our richest and most powerful overlords live and work. They fired up mobs to trash huge swaths of Washington, D.C., their cherished imperial capital, which to this day is yet to recover. Why did they do that? Was there some nefarious plan to derive benefit that I don't understand? Or was this an instance of losing control of the shock troops? Either way, the events were unprecedented.